Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Story Break, the Writer's Room podcast, where three Hollywood professionals have 1 hour to turn a humble idea into a pitch for a radical, dadical movie. I am your host, Freddie Wong, coming at you live.
I'm Will Campos, and I'm one dadical screenwriter.
Nice.
Man.
You're having a kid?
No, but you said dadical, and so I was just going to roll with it.
Oh,
okay. Yeah. Matt Arnold here, checkers aficionado, first and foremost, writer, director, second. I play games of true skill. So what are we doing today?
Matt only plays solved games, but today, the most unsolved game, as that we know of, the story of chess. And a quick shout out to Tyler Rhea and Michael Burton, who both sent chess in as a suggestion on Twitter when we were calling out for entries. Our Twitter, by the way, at RJ Storybreak. There's been a lot of movies about chess, but what of the game itself?
No one has adapted chess a movie.
No one has dared, but now we dare to tread where fools have... I don't remember what the name of the...
Well, you two are both chess players, so why don't you, for those that don't know what chess is, summarize chess really quick and then get into breaking this.
Chess is the board game for people who are smart enough to not need big, dumb board games like the
as
ones
they call,
Matt plays.
As they call the game of kings. It is a well-known way of getting popular with the ladies in high school, I found. This is me personally. Just me speaking from personal experience. Will, what about you?
Well, Freddie, I've always felt that chess is a two-player strategy board game played on a chessboard, a checkered game board with 64 squares arranged on an 8x8 grid. The game is played by millions of people worldwide. That's the first time I've ever heard audience statistics.
Yeah, it's like a McDonald's sign. It's like millions and millions of players.
All over billions of players across centuries and millennia served. You got a king, you got a queen, you got rooks, you got knights, you got bishops and pawns.
It's fighting. Very medieval.
You're fighting another kingdom.
It's a war. It's a turn-based strategy game.
It's the original tactical turn-based strategy game. sort of the progenitor of XCOM and Final Fantasy.
It's like a medieval civilization, if you really think about it.
It's basically picture Final Fantasy Tactics. You've got the same job system, the same great
terrain. There's a progression system.
There's a progression system. Your characters can level up if they get to the end of the board. Look, we all know what chess is.
But for the kids that don't know, before there was pwned, there was checkmate.
Yes.
And we moved on. So here we go.
The goal is to capture the king. You got the white side and the black side, which is maybe a little problematic in today's age. But we've got you got two rival armies duking it out. So to me,
and white goes first, by the way.
Yeah.
And then and
a little
by the way, and
white
then,
privilege there.
And also, just as a small point for folks who are setting up a chessboard maybe for the first time, don't screw this up. The light corners are on the bottom right and the top left when you're looking at the board. Just make sure that you do that.
So I'm a big chess nerd.
Yeah, me too.
By big chess nerd, I mean I was a big chess nerd in middle school.
Hey, we can play chess right now. E4.
F stop. Control alt delete.
Control alt F4.
Shit. I definitely the only way to win is not to play. So I love this game.
I love chess too. And Matt actually has given me shit for my love of chess. Mr. Board Game Aficionado.
I don't know about giving
what's
you
your,
shit. I just don't like chess.
What's your hot take on chess, Matt?
There's no hot take. I just don't.
What don't you like about it?
I just find it dull. That's all. Like it feels like I get it's fun. There's a reason why people have done variations of chess with like randomization and stuff like that. And I think, you know, I think it's just getting to. I think chess is probably fun if you get really competitive into it. Like a very like, you know, you're playing with somebody and you get it start getting into the mind games and the bluffing and the figuring out all those next moves. It gets very competitive. As a casual game, just to hang out with friends, like it's just. I have a billion other options that I would just enjoy more.
I do wish that there were some Kickstarter exclusives for it, and maybe some DLC.
Get the new Golden King.
It can really go on very long. A chess game can go on for a very long time. Look, this is not about my hot take on chess. Is obviously a great game. It's been around forever. It is a cultural milestone.
Now,
granted, it's a ton of stuff.
Time will see if it stands the test of time. Like maybe Hive, a better chess, which Matt has said to me.
I never said it was better than chess. I said I like it more than chess. I have a good time with it. It's very fast and fun.
Hive is a good game, but
Hive
it's not a better
no,
chess.
No, it's not. It's already broken.
All right, here we go.
Okay, so to me, I mean, okay.
All right, hold on real quick. The clock starts and now.
So this is medieval court stuff, I feel like.
Absolutely.
You've got your, and again, to me, why I wanted to do this one, the reason I'm excited about chess is, A, it's a fun thing everybody knows. But
it's
like,
the best game ever.
You've got characters already built in. You've got the king, you've got the queen, you've got the knight, and the bishop, and the rook, and the lowly pawn. So the first thing that leapt to my mind is the most dramatic thing that can happen in a game of chess is you get that fucking pawn all the way across the board. And if you get the pawn all the way to the enemy side and across the board, you can turn it into a queen, which is like the classic rise to power to me. So to me, like, you could do at least one of your characters, I feel like, is this pawn who she learns to play the game. Do you know what I mean? So to speak.
Right.
And she's able to move her way across the metaphorical chessboard and then take power.
And it seems to me that end, right, because then once you have the queen, it feels like then, you know, whatever side you're on, that's the one that wins. It does seem to suggest that it's like it's a tale of spy intrigue where the other person like ascends the court of the opposite, you know, opposing side, and in doing so is able to stage some sort of coup, right? Like, that seems to be what the story as you know, as writ large on the chessboard is suggesting, you know, some sort of,
you know,
like,
chess was supposed to have originated in India, so why does it have to be a European medieval? I'm just throwing you guys.
That's fair enough.
Absolutely. That's a very good point.
Chess is believed to have originated in eastern India in the Gupta Empire, where it is, in its early form it was known as Chaturanga.
It was known as Settlers of Catan.
originally called Ticket to Ride, the chess was invented. let's see. Originally, you had the pieces infantry, cavalry, elephants, and chariotry represented.
Oh, elephants is interesting because you know that there's a Chinese version of chess, not Chinese checkers, but like a Chinese version of chess, where the knight move is, if I recall, there is an elephant piece on there. So it's like, man, Asians and them elephants. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, so I do like the pawn becoming a queen is a good
hero's journey, if you will, it gives us
a basic, like, kind of, we know that there's gonna be a main character. Like, look, if you're gonna look at the core story elements, it's like there's two kingdoms,
mm-hmm.
and we know that a peasant or a serf or a soldier in one kingdom is going to become a leader and a queen in the other kingdom.
It's not that you become a queen for the other kingdom.
Oh, you're right.
It's not like
that's espionage.
It's like you go behind enemy lines kind of thing. The pawn becoming the queen is like the classic Hail Mary.
Yeah.
Or actually, to talk about a game of chess, like, usually, like, you'll get to this end game, right? Like, you've been slugging it out with the other person, trading blows, and like, so this would inevitably might be my undoing in chess when I play against like my dad, is that I would be focused on the big pieces, right? Like capturing a rook for his, you know, like, I want to stay even with him. If he loses a rook, we gotta trade rooks, tit for tat, basically. But you don't pay attention to the pawns. And, like, you'll lose a pawn and not think much of it. And then you get down to that end game, and you realize he's got one more pawn than you do, and you have nothing to block him as he just slowly moves it across the board towards the end. And you realize, like, I'm going to go from being in an even fight to he's going to have a queen, and it's basically over.
How many pieces do you have at that point?
At the end of the game, like, you can be down to just four or five pieces.
So you're saying that in this war, they've both lost their entire kingdoms, and the person is a leader of rubble and nothing.
That's an interesting take on the morality of war. I will say this, though. It's in general, like, there's definitely a move that you see in a lot of end games in chess, which is the king stepping out from the court, so to speak, to protect that pawn on its suicide run. Like, there's something, I feel like, as far as, like, again, in action movies, like, last hallway sequences, like, how dope would it be if it's, like, the king's, like, draws his sword and, like, the suicide run, it's just, like, just slicing down foes, protecting the pawn on the advance all the way to the end so it can have...
Oh, that's, you know, pretty, I mean? like the king and the pawn go back to back.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
exactly.
Like in The Killer.
Yes.
Now, you guys have played way more chess, but does chess make you feel like it's, what Will always likes to do in games, like, how does it make you feel? Do you feel like you're in an action movie, or do you feel like you are two members of...
You feel like you're Magneto and Professor X when they play chess, and you're like,
Yeah. So, because to me, if I were to try to throw this to, like, a Shakespeare play, this feels like it's, a Titus, like, in terms of, like, the end is, like, the body count is almost everybody's. It is just people have... It is...
drenched
in blood. It is... Because it feels like you just have... You are literally lining up bodies on the side of your table with, like... 10 pawns are dead and your two castles.
Yes,
and
all, just, ten, all well, 10 of your pawns.
You even as a theme, like sacrifice is what chess is about.
Yeah.
It is what are you willing to sacrifice? And like you can do some risky sacrifices in chess. Or again, like there's like the classic move is like the Queen's Gambit or the King's Gambit, which is right in your opening move, you give them an opportunity to take a pawn and lose, you know, and then you'll bring your queen out right away. And like it's this gutsy move that like a whole strategy will be based around. So yeah, that idea of sacrifice and like of, you know, trading piece for piece.
Is an
integral part of like what makes chess chess. And then there's of course always the like how many moves ahead can you think, and like how many moves ahead is your enemy going to think, so that you know like you set them up into traps, and you like again like there's the classic thing where like the like if you pin someone with a trap, it'll be like you go to attack one of their pieces and now they can't move it, or it'll expose their king and put their king into check, so then they just have to eat losing that piece. So mixing that with like a war film where you're from the perspective of this pawn, just watching her, you know, her friends die, and you know, like, and again, like you have like even like the noble bishop, right? Like the bishop who thinks I'm really important, I'm really valued by the king, and then he's sent out on this mission that is just he doesn't realize it, but he's doomed. This is just all about baiting the enemy into making a mistake, and he's gonna like every other piece on the board, he's expendable.
Only the king is not expendable.
What I feel like also, because there's something interesting. You know, it's also like a weird, like checkmate is such a weird idea for a game because it's like the game doesn't technically end. It's like before the game is over, somebody just admits defeat.
That's true.
Like
you don't kill the king. Yeah.
Yeah, which is interesting. I haven't seen game.
The king is doomed, right? Yeah, exactly.
So I imagine that, again, also in a Shakespearean sense, like I feel like this ends with like the king commits suicide. Like to me, it's like that's straight up king commits suicide.
Rather than
be killed, he's in checkmate and you literally tip him. Like you just.
Throne of Blood.
Yeah, yeah.
Where Toshiro Mifune gets gunned down by all those arrows.
Yeah.
And then, so you do like, he gets his
or the end of Ron, like he walks away from his burning castle wanders to a cliff and who knows what happened to him, it's over. He's given
by the way, total side derail, but did you know that in that scene in Throne of Blood, they were shooting just real arrows at Toshiro Mifune?
Yeah, they
like those expert archers just shooting at him.
Yeah, and a lot in those old movies, they would do just wooden, you'd wear like a big wooden back.
Yeah, he had like
just shoot an arrow into the wood.
Yeah.
Cool.
Film safety.
They would on Robin Hood when they did that, they would be like, anybody want to do it? It's like, we'll give you an extra $50. Like it was just straight up there, just like, who wants it? We'll give you a little more money. And people like, okay. And then they saw it. They're just like, no, thank you.
Yeah. Right. They also used to put people on boats that didn't know how to swim. So
here's the real question.
Yeah.
We're going to have a bad guy in this movie. What game does the bad guy play to show you that he's really smart?
Because
every other bad guy, they just play chess.
No, they definitely have to play. If you're going to have a movie called Chess, it's about two kingdoms, they definitely play chess.
Yeah, but do you do that like the chessboard is
checkers?
No, but...
jump.
They play XCOM. If you were to do it, I would do that. That is the war board. Like, they always have, the military generals move their shit around. Or, like, when we talked about Monopoly, that you would have, like, the big version of the board and the thing. Like, I don't know if, like, you literally do that. They're playing chess in the thing.
Secretly, I've always wanted to have one of those just so I can use, like, a little thing and push some pieces around. But that's just me.
All right. So let's I'm trying to.
Just for an ending, one of the things I thought might be interesting is again to try and cram as many chess references as possible. Is if you have it like the final thing is like the king is under siege and it's like you have lost. You've completely kept him from moving right like a stalemate. It's like we have to break this stalemate, and that's when there's like a dope action sequence with a king and pawn.
I mean, again, I think weirdly enough, like Game of Thrones is essentially chess, like in some ways. Like I think you are definitely in the realm of it is. It is intrigue. It is politics. It is the pawn is definitely an element of it, but like I don't think
it's really king versus king, right?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely feel like chess is the feeling of two leaders, two masterminds. Like whether or not you are literally the king or like the military strategist, like it feels like it's two kingdoms against each other. Because all the like, if you were to tell the story of a chess game, it's not like this one person did this amazing thing. It is like I sacrificed my pawn. Like I moved my bishop across the board. Like I trapped them. They barely broke out.
So it's a question
like
of perspective. Because again, I think you can all. But I think that I think to Will's point also, I think you can tell a story that is like the machinations of the kingdom from the perspective of a pawn.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just trying to figure out what is sure, but
it's a point of view question.
I feel like I feel like chess is very much like a political soap opera. It feels like it's a lot of. It's a lot of moving pieces.
On
a macro level. So, like, again, it feels like it's like, again, House of Cards is a sense. People describe that as like, it's like political chess. Like, it is a bunch of moving pieces, you know, between various parties or whatnot.
Right, right.
Yeah, I'm trying to, like, this is, it's such an abstract game. It's like, how, you know, like, it's as, you know, sometimes we'll have, like, a great world and then you got to come up with characters. But yeah. Now, like, we have, like, an interesting setup, but, like, you kind of have to populate it with a world, right?
Yeah.
So it's two warring kingdoms over a, to me, a finite land, right? Like, it's got to be like some island or something, right? It can't be some expanse of Europe. It has to be over the control of an island or over the control of something that's like enclosed in some way, right?
It feels, yeah, like it would, yeah, two warring kingdoms, Kingdom A and Kingdom B for now. It feels like you would do, it almost feels, again, like the movies I keep thinking of like are like 13 Days, mm-hmm. like which was about the Cuban Missile Crisis and like the brinksmanship yeah. of it and stuff like that. Like the first thing that leapt into my mind would be you would do your opening of the movie would be like this farmer out in a field and then he looks up and I don't know what the pawn is, but you know, yeah. like that first move is always like one of the four center squares and you move your pawn up, right?
Yeah.
So like that feels like almost the beginning
the
of your movie.
Territorial dispute.
Yeah, yeah. The beginning of your movie would be like he moved a guy here. Like, you know, like you're, let's say we start from the perspective of Black, right?
Right, right.
And like, so your inciting incident is just there's this guy in the center of the board now, right? Like, there's a guy, like, this other kingdom has moved the detachment of, you know, grunts or whatever.
Or they're farming land that's not theirs.
Yeah. So there's just like, boom, here's this pawn right here. And then it's like, what am I going to do? How am I going to respond? I have to do something. I can't just let him keep moving. Like, I'm going to put up my own pawn, right?
Yeah.
And then it's like, you watch this situation go from kind of a neutral tension to all out war.
Yeah. Like, so basic, like, farming land dispute. And then it's like, well, now I'm moving my troops in to support my farmers.
Bear with me. What yeah. if you do like, is again, like just thinking through a chess game, like you, there's that opening period where you're developing your positions, right? Like, and it is like, I'm going to put out my pawn and then, oh, he's going to put out his pawn. That pawn's threatening mine. I'm going to back him up with a knight.
Right.
He's going to back his guy up with a knight. I'm going to move this guy over here to threaten that square. Like it just builds and builds and builds like this powder keg. And then boom, you make a trade. Right. And all of a sudden it's a shooting war.
Right.
And it's like, I take his pawn with my pawn. He takes that pawn. Like I take him with my knight. Like, and boom, 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 boom. Like now we're in this shit. So like, that I could see as like your act one essentially is like turning up the heat. It's like this trade building essentially.
Right.
And then like your sort of like inciting incident, like it's on, is that shit goes down, right? And like these, you have these moves and it's like, okay, now these two countries are at war.
Yeah, yeah. I think
I know this is just arch plot stuff. This isn't character yet.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out again, this will sound a little pulpy at first and it's not necessarily this. It's just like, yeah, trying to get a handle on like, what is your point? Because, like, look, it's like I feel like somebody goes to see a movie called Chess. It's like, what do they expect? And I'm trying to think if you can do – it's not literally this, but do you have, like, who is the chess player in this movie? Like, who are the two guys? Because I feel like ultimately – or two women. Like, who are the two people mm-hmm. that are the chess players? Because I feel like that's ultimately – it is going to be who's the person, who is the Rasputin, you know, who's the person who's behind the scenes – trying to achieve something. And I feel like you're essentially
you're saying it's an entity outside the king and queen or the actual,
well, they're gonna be part of the court, but like I'm just trying to hang on to like various elements of the game that like I can be like, okay, I could, for example, like if you're gonna do that, the king kills himself, I feel like the end of the movie is the down, it's like this guy who thinks he has it all and he realizes what's about to happen and he comes running into the court to stop and the king kills himself. He's like, I've lost everything. Like,
to throw an idea out there, I think you have, okay, if you have your two kings, right, you have the one side, like, again, to me, white is actually the bad guys in this movie. Mm-hmm. They're the initial aggressors, right? Yeah. Like, they're the ones on the move, right? So you have one kingdom wants to take over the other kingdom, yeah. right? And he's like, but this guy isn't going to just, it's a smart king. He's like, he's got his whole plan worked out. Like, he's got the whole game already mapped out. And from his perspective, it's like, I'm not just going to get into an all, I'm just going to invade in an all-out war. Mm-hmm. I'm going to bait him into defending a little piece of territory, and then it's all going to spiral out of control. Like, so that's his goal's conquest, right? And then you have this other king whose goal is defense. And like, Black is like, a much more defensive position because you're always one move behind.
Yeah.
Which makes you, again, kind of the underdog in the game. So you would do that, this other king, and we could talk about whether they're men or ladies or whatever, like, you know, in terms of gender and stuff like that, but in terms of the position, the other king is just trying to defend his territory, right?
Yeah.
But then he's got to, at some point in his turn, would be realizing the only way to defend is to attack, right? Like, and the only way to you can't just stay neutral in chess. You can't just put up your walls. Like, the enemy is going to keep coming.
Yeah.
The only way to defend himself is going to be to kill the other guy. It's going to be to conquer the other guy.
Yeah.
And that's eventually going to be his shift. And so then, to me, that becomes the balance. Like, you have this, and again, maybe the on the white side, they've got good reasons for wanting to expand.
Yeah.
You know, like, the country is starving, or like, they need more resources.
Yeah,
and they're
yeah.
like, I've got to do this thing. Or again, or the guy just has an unchecked ambition.
Yeah.
But then you do essentially those are the drives pushing them into conflict with each other.
Yeah, I mean, I think you need to, like, if this is, it's essentially, right, it's war is kingdoms, like, you're going to, ultimately, is going to be what is the battle between ideologies that are the reason these people are fighting, what's the interest that is conflicting that they need to go against each other. For example, like, I mean, obviously, I've just been reading a lot of history. So, like, if I were to be like, okay, if this was, and I'm not saying this is a Revolutionary War, but I'm like, okay, if I were to really quickly try to do in 30 seconds, like, think of, like, okay, if this was a chess movie set in the Revolutionary War era, I'd be like, it is, before the war starts, it is two really good friends, a printer and a fucking militiaman, and they play chess every single day, and one's a loyalist to Britain, and one is, and they have different beliefs. One's like, constitutional monarchy is one thing, the other one's like, freedom is what's most important. Have you read Thomas Paine? He's like, Thomas Paine, fuck that, like, I read Burke, and they talk about it, and they play chess every day, and one guy always wins because he has a different idea, and then the war begins, and they find themselves on opposite ends as both, like, the lead, like, they become, both of them are
generals,
like,
or something.
The generals. They're both brilliant guys, and they realize they're against each other, and they start playing moves, and they think they know each other because chess is also as much of a mind game, especially when you start, you know, playing a lot. And you would see these people, you know, essentially that would be like the metaphor that when they were friends and they're playing chess and it was just a game, now it's real. And yes, at the end it would be one defeats the other, and I just imagine it's like, you know, he imprisons the one, lost everything, and then he's imprisoned, and then they end the movie by
playing the game.
They're playing chess again,
like Magneto and Professor X and X-Men.
Yeah, Professor X. But, like, yeah, it's like, I feel like, I'm just trying to get, like, what's the meat into this movie? Like, what gets me into there? Like, what's the relationship or these two people's intellects that are battling? Because, yes, it's like vague fantasy or medieval stuff. Two kingdoms battle, like, what's
yeah, but I guess I don't understand, like, why. So I don't know that the two kings are friends with each other at the beginning.
No, they don't have to. I'm just trying to figure out what's the end of the movie? Like, I'm just trying to figure out,
okay, yeah, sure,
what's the story?
No, but I like the idea that both kingdoms are more or less in ruins at the end, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I like that idea. And then it's like, you know, have one king captures the other one, right? But where is he going to take him? They both destroyed everything.
Yeah.
I think is an interesting idea. Like, and that's the tragedy, right? And that they are kind of locked in this, that they allowed this stupid game between the two of them to destroy everything that they actually care about. Like, I like actually that you do this pawn, right? Like, she's like, I'm more than just a pawn. I'm going to advance and I'm going to become something great. And she becomes a queen. And it's like, I'm like the most powerful piece on the board now. And the king's like, okay, you're going to go sacrifice yourself over there so I can win, right? Like, it's like,
yeah,
the, like, as you're still, as much power as you have, like, as many moves as you can make, you're still at the behest of the person running the game.
Yeah, you can show the movie ending in a draw, so to speak, which is just the king's remains.
Oh, it actually being a stalemate is actually kind of an interesting ending if you wanted to try. If, I guess it feels like,
if you're going to say something, you know.
Is it like a war is futile type thing?
I think people who don't like,
it just
one,
like,
one of my favorite things about chess is that it's a game that can end in a stalemate. When you talk about board games, that's like why I love chess, is that it can end in a draw. When I play games, that's what I want. Anyways,
one of the things I was thinking,
butter battle, like Dr. Seuss, like they just both have nukes at the end. I mean, that's what it would be if you're going to do it as a draw. It would be like a lesson in mutual destruction or whatever. But I don't know if that's what people think about when chess is like.
No, but just imagine, okay, so let's say it's a wasteland, right? It's just these two kings left, or like these two kings and their one pawn each. That are, two pawns that are stuck, again, it's like the classic
two
pawns stuck against each other, right? And then it's just like these two kings locked in this perpetual dance around each other. Like, you know, like, you move here, I move here, you move here. And it's just this endless circle or something like that. I don't know. Sounds like a fun time at the movies.
Yeah, feels like if you're going to do a chess, with a checkmate.
Real quick, one of the things I was saying as far as a cool inciting incident that might be interesting to kind of like kick it up a notch in terms of trying to put personal stakes on it is that if you did, like, if you dramatize like a knight, a king, queen, knight fork, right? So it's like at some point, like the knight, Will knows what I'm talking about. At some point, like a knight from the other side threatens both the king and the queen. And he's like, I can't save both. And the queen's like, you're more important, save yourself. So, but the other side assassinates the dude's wife. like, now shit's on, right?
Well, especially, no, because if you're going to do that, it would be the king being like, it's the king and the queen of this, like, total lockstep with each other, power couple. And then that knight gets to that point, and the king's like, sorry, babe.
Oh, you know what I mean?
It's like, that would be the king actually being like, I'm sorry, you know, like, I gotta, like, I'm gonna let you die. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm not, do you know what I mean? Like, it's like, it feels like you make it like a, oh, this king fucking sucks type move. Like, I don't know. Mm. Chess is a bummer of a game now that I think about it. Okay, so here would be, I have a couple of questions.
Mm-hmm.
Do we follow both sides, or are we more or less following this from one side? I feel like I don't need to be on jumping, or like, I'm just trying to limit
this. No, I think
you
need to be on one side.
It like, feels for like predominantly. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't, like, especially, just bear with me, man. Mm-hmm. You never know what your opponent is thinking. You can try to read them. Like, when you're playing chess, you're watching them, you're seeing their moves, but you're not, like, privy to the dialogue that's going on in their head.
Yeah, I would just say that, again, it's when I think about things that are thought of as, like, chess-like, like, again, like, House of Cards is thought of as, like, chess-like, or mm-hmm. Game of Thrones is thought of as chess-like. Like, Game of Thrones is essentially chess. And the fun of, like, when you think of something as chess-like, it is seeing the move. It is, yes, but if you're watching a chess game, you're right, you're not seeing the internal mechanisms of why they're doing something, but you're seeing each and every move. It's not like war. Like, that's why... not a hot take, but like another reason why chess is a terrible analogy for war is that war is about the fog of war. War is actually about not knowing what the other person is doing and trying to make the best out of a situation where you have imperfect information. Whereas chess is a game of perfect information. It's about as far away from war as possible.
Okay. All right. I feel like we're floating.
Yeah. That's what I was trying to get to. It's like, look, if you want to go with the idea of like, it's a pawn, it's like, I just need what, like, I can get this, I can get the idea of two ambitious men on opposite sides of a war that know each other. But that's the story. I'm like, okay, I get that story. And like, whether or not there's like a fork and a queen, those are all just mechanisms within the soap opera. Like, what's the into the story is okay. Like what we're not getting to.
Okay. This is a goofy idea for the beginning of this thing. It's definitely takes it in a sillier direction, which I'm also a fan of, because I'm like, it's taking this super seriously is like also like, okay.
Yeah,
like,
Battle Chess was the greatest chess game of all time.
Bear with me. You do like it opens and we're like, it's this, again, like we're in the land of the board.
Okay.
Like, that's what the land is called, the board. Like, okay. You know, like Middle Earth is the board. And it's like, our ancestors fought. In the it was a simpler day back then. There were two sides, the O and the X, right? And you do like, so like the original, like again, because it's like almost like civilization, like
holy
how things
shit.
Evolved. You know what I mean? So it starts and you start with these cavemen and one of them's got two sticks held up like an X and the other one's holding a big rock, right?
Holy
and
then, shit.
But all of their battles always ended in a draw, right? Like it was always like, so it started as tic-tac-toe.
Well, after a while it ended
But
in
then
a draw.
It turned, the board got more complicated and it turned into checkers.
Yeah.
And then like checkers was like, this age of like again out and out chaos, but like these simple brute tactics, you know, like you're like watching the but then it's like, you know, like, but we've refined, like we're elegant, like we're more sophisticated now we're in the age of chess essentially, right? And like there's a whole court system has evolved on either side of this ancient feud that's always been going on.
What would be the evolution?
This being the secret movie about the evolution of board games in general is incredible.
Well, I was trying to think, like, what is the end in terms of, like, I feel like the end of the movie then is, like, the kingdom's in ruin and the guy realizes they're moving on to the next stage. Is it just, like...
What's one after chess?
Yeah, is it, like, nuclear war? Is it
is it Cards Against Humanity?
Is it Cards Against Humanity? Just yelling at each other. Okay, I like this like weird alt reality.
Yeah,
where,
I'm
like
with
everything
that.
Is
I'm 100%
like
with
everything
that.
Is simplified. Like,
he's looking at a portrait of his great great grandfather, and it's just a circle.
Okay,
or their crest. Their crest is an O and an X.
Yeah,
right?
The sigil. Like, they still go by the ancient sigils.
So is this like a PG-13 Pixar movie? Is it like animated?
I don't know. Let's get there later.
Okay.
Let's figure out
well,
the
I'm
characters.
I'm trying to hang on. Well, because you've dropped a bomb in the middle of this. You presented this like pseudo world. Like, I need to get a sense of like what it's not literally people. Like, is it real human beings on? They lived in a kingdom that had 9 perfectly farmed squares, and they had or they were hitting each other with giant X's and O's. Like, I'm just trying to get a sense of.
In terms of the aesthetic, I don't know.
Or just like even what it means. Because I love the idea. I'm just trying to think of like, yeah, because you're definitely playing into like a little fantasy world now, like a little like weird. It reminds me of like The Point or some, you know, like one
Flatland.
Of those. Yeah, like one of those like weird like 70s, 80s, like very allegorical. Like,
yeah. Things.
Okay. But sure. Okay. So this is, it reminds me of like, so this is like a weird, there's a Samurai Jack episode where they're like this society is literally designed just like they just fight for their entire life to for the ultimate warrior at the end who has this perfect sword. Mm-hmm. And like, it feels like this is a society where it's just like, for whatever reason, it's an island and these people just fight all the time. And it's just this endless struggle between these two sides.
Yeah.
Like, whatever the rest of the world is, who gives a shit? Like, mm-hmm. Might as well be, you know, it's like Vikings.
It's like yin and yang. It's the opposite. The thesis antithesis.
Okay.
We got to get into characters. We're almost half an hour in. Like we got to figure out.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I've been. It's like, what is the, again, ultimately the end of the movie is like, who are you talking about? Which is why, like, when I think of chess, it's like, I imagine either we go with like, it is just a pawn and you're just doing a rags to riches story within like
I imagine that's like a subplot thing. I don't think that
yeah,
that's
yeah.
like
or
your...
again it's like what are the two again when I think of chess it is like what are the two strategists like if Kingdom of Heaven also had another Orlando Bloom on the other side that would be chess mm-hmm. like it's like he is the guy who is figuring out all the moves because again like the fun of that movie is like it's like you know setting up the traps and like
well,
figuring
maybe
out where you're...
so maybe it's conquering hero right like an Alexander type has come to this island right and again not to deviate too strongly from what we have set up but like the idea that like you know like it's an invader versus an indigenous population so to speak
mm-hmm.
you know so there starts to paint a picture of like clear aggressor versus you know.
If you want to talk about an advisor, like the queen would be the mm-hmm. advisor. Like, or if you do on one side, the queen is the advisor, the other side, the bishop is the advisor. Mm-hmm. And then you would do, but so yeah, like that could be your advisor thing. And then you have the king making each side has the kings making the decisions. Again, it's like a mafia movie. You have the, you know, the Don and the, you know, the number two, like the, you know, consigliere or whatever.
I think the fun of it is going to be, it is, again, it's about sacrifice. It's somebody manipulating the board. Cause again, it's like, any character you have you want to care about them because you want, like, Game of Thrones style. You
all
want
right,
to care
okay, so just to yeah. fucking drill down then I think our main character is the Black King, and he wants to defend his people. That's
okay.
We got to go with something. And
yeah,
I'm like,
yeah,
I'm just trying to, yeah, yeah, yeah. So, like, again, like, you have he is, or she is, like, they are, they're, enemies are coming over the gates, right? Or, again, like, there's something is going on the far reaches of the board, right? In the middle
yeah.
of the board, there's action, right? And you would do, like, off the top of my head, it's like an untested king, right? Like, he's grown up in an age of peace, and he's, you know, worried because he's never seen battle before. And on the other side, like, the White King is like a hardened, you know, general or something like that.
I think they need to have a relationship with each other. Like, that's going to be, the fun of it is going to be,
yeah,
we play chess, two people want to fight, like, the two people are playing against each other. Two people care about beating the other person so much that they're willing to sacrifice their own people, their pawns, their own queen. They're willing to kill others in order to beat the other person. And there's mm-hmm. a meaningless to it because one of them's going to kill himself and the other one's going to be in charge of a kingdom of ruin. So that's what I was trying to get to is like, what is the relationship of these two?
Two brothers.
Yeah, I mean, again, mm-hmm. if you want to go simple, it'd be the father, this fucking king had two brothers, two twins that were born on the same day, so he couldn't decide who to give the kingdom to, so he split it in half. And
done.
And yeah, neither of them are happy about their half. They were like, I deserve it. I was born 1 minute later than you or whatever. But yes, there's two brothers who now share a kingdom. And yes, they both believe that they have a right to it. I'm like, okay, at least like, again, not great, but I'm like, okay, I get
it. No, I like that.
Yeah, I'm like, I get what these people are about.
Oh boy. Okay. Yeah, I mean, I'm okay with that.
Okay, so here, then again, it's like if you want to do a little pulpy, it's like I would do this fucking king, this old man king had two twins.
Mm-hmm.
The mother died in childbirth, and he has two, or the father died in childbirth and is a queen, and she has two beautiful boys.
Two shitty boys.
Well, they play chess every day when they're kids, and then she dies, mm-hmm. and she doesn't say who gets the kingdom, so it's split in half because they're both rightful heirs, and now they both have the kingdom and they've been competitive their whole life or whatever, mm-hmm. and now they're going against each other or whatever. Anyways,
in which case, then I would say even like that's something where you could do the pawns aren't individual soldiers, but you play them as just like the peasants and the villagers who've sworn allegiance to either side, so you have like a whole population of people. So again, it's more like they're willing to sacrifice just all. Right, like peons in their kingdoms.
So it would be, why do they care so much? Because if this is going to be a story of, or whatever, it's a brother and a sister. What is it, why do they care so much about taking? Again, it's like, what are the two motivations? One may just be ambitious and want to run the whole kingdom. The other one may have some slight, like, what's the, that's what you need to get to.
Why they hate each other.
Yeah, why are they battling?
Yeah.
I mean, it's very, isn't that literally the story of Throne of Blood? Isn't it, the different all the sons.
That's King Lear.
King Lear, yeah.
And that's daughters. He's dividing the kingdom. Yeah. He's trying to figure out who to give the kingdom to, and he's like this old senile king. And then the shitty daughters are sucking up to him. The good daughter's like, "You're nuts, dad," and it's like a whole thing.
Yeah.
Oh my God! Why is this so hard?
One of them believes that the other one killed their mother.
Oh yeah, I mean that's a valid. That's essentially Gladiator.
Hey.
Oh my God! This is killing my brain. I'm just trying to think. All right.
King Freddy Chess had.
Freddy Chess.
Had two identical twins. Jimmy and Jammy. And, okay.
Well, if you're going to play the story of unchecked ambition on one of them, it's like, yeah, one of them killed the father because it's like, I was born 1 minute earlier, therefore I should get this all. And then the court was like, well, actually, it's not clear, so we're going to split this. It's like, this is bullshit. This is mine. Like, I want this. This is, right? One was born with unchecked ambition.
Okay. I'm going to do a Hail Mary and just...
Go for it, please. I'm in the weeds today, okay. So...
This doesn't make sense, but it's very, like, shit, whatever. Okay. A father... Or the king and queen have identical twins, or a brother and sister.
Yeah.
Who gets the kingdom? And of course they're like, well, and the king is like, whoever proves themselves to be the most wise when it's time to give it. And one of the things they do is they play chess every day, and it is like the king is literally using chess to test who is the better.
This is just Monopoly again.
Who's the better? No.
Lemvish.
Yeah, this is actually closer to maybe Stardust. It's like which one of his sons is going to rule the kingdom, and you could do that. There's the final game. The king is very sick, and they're like he wants to speak to you two again. They're like, oh my God, here it is. And he comes. He's like, yes, father. What are your final words? He's like, play chess in front of me. And they're playing chess, and the king dies. But anyways, you would do like the one son wins, and the other son swears that son cheated, and he refuses to give up the kingdom. Nobody was there. So anyways, you do like there's something one brother feels the other one cheated. The other brother knows the other one's evil, and like he should be ruling the kingdom. And it is like the kingdom, the empire is thrown into chaos because they don't legally know who's actually supposed to run the kingdom because nobody was in that room with them or whatever. And these two sons like they fight like they was like I don't know like. They have loyalties, but it would be something like that. Like these two brothers.
Okay, I thought you were saying that it's like
These two brothers were always placed in competition with each other. Like they lived their whole life knowing that whoever was quote unquote better was going to run this king was going to rule this kingdom. I don't know.
Yeah, the old king was a big believer in meritocracy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Chess based meritocracy.
Okay. I feel like I'm trailing behind, and I'm desperately trying to catch up with you guys. Okay, if you were gonna do that, then yeah, I would just do that. They were both playing this game, and then they took so long to fucking finish their game that the dad keeled over before they finished or something like that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like the
addressing one of
or
Matt's
they
hot
they
takes.
Were in a stalemate, or they were you know like yeah, the yeah. they were just moved in, the, and then you do it. It was bullshit because one of the brothers was clearly losing, right?
Yeah.
And then he just stopped. He just started going really slowly.
Yeah.
And he basically ran out the clock until the dad died, and then he's like, "That's bullshit." Bullshit! Like you were just waiting for dad to die, and he's like, "Hey, that's just me being good at strategy, which is what dad wanted."
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like that was just my move. I was playing one move better than you.
Yes.
Oh,
actually, that's great.
And then he's like, "I was playing one move better than you because I poisoned your wine or whatever." It's like that kind of thing.
Because the opening scene would be this advisor over the king's. The advisor has like the deed of the kingdom or whatever it is. He's like, "Sire, you must write the name of the son who is your heir." And the father's like, "Wait, whoever wins will be it." And like he's slowly dying, and they're going, and the advisor's like, "Sire, you must sign the name." And then also they turn.
But father, like, I clearly am in the winning position.
And he dies right as the guy's about to say checkmate. He dies, and both the sons look, and the father's expired, and nobody's been given the kingdom.
Well, then you do, there's a map of the kingdom, and then they both grab it, and they're pulling
at it.
And then it rips in half.
Yeah.
And then that becomes the... I don't know, maybe not.
No, that's pretty good, because you could do... That could be your start. And then you cut to, like, 10 years later, and they're all, like, 30 now.
Yeah.
And these kingdoms have been in a constant conflict. Yeah, it's two brothers that have lost everything.
Yes, okay.
And it's kind of their father's fault because he's a fucking psychopath.
But then you do, like, again, the way the man... It actually reminds me of... There's this great story about Stalin it was like... I think it's the Trans-Siberian Railroad.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it follows this weird curve. Like, it follows this path. And the legend behind it is that they were like, they were all of the, because Stalin had ordered, we're going to build this huge railroad, you know, across Russia. Mm-hmm. And like, he had this meeting with all of his advisors, like these engineers were like, we can't get through this mountain range. This path is impossible. We're mm-hmm. trying to figure out, we don't know which way to go. And they're all hemming and hawing. And Stalin just got fed up and pissed and just grabbed the map and just drew a line across mm-hmm. it, right? And it has like this little curve at the end. And he was such a terrifying figure that they literally built this entire railroad exactly to the way he just scrawled it across mm-hmm. this map. I don't know. That's just a derail. But it's like, yeah. But yeah, like the idea that it's like this rip became the chaos, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then you do like the way the thing ripped, like one guy got the farmlands. You know what I mean? Yeah. The other one got the mountains, or like he got the mines, right? So then you do, okay, so then one side has plenty of food, the other side has plenty of money, but like, you know, they both need what the other one has. Do you know what I mean? So like that's the fight over resources. And those are the four center squares of the board.
Yeah.
And it's like the like, that's the
yes.
thing and that's putting them in a conflict with each
yes.
other.
Yes, so I think in terms of...
he who controls the center controls the kingdom.
Because yes, what you're essentially doing is... but the story is essentially about two brilliant siblings who, through a shitty upbringing, like never grew to love each other. Like essentially what it is. And they're yes. going to be failed. Well, because what I would do, again, especially if you don't want to do it just two guys, I could do... You could do... It is... You know, it's like my friend Badgley. It's a brother... It's a girl and a boy. It's a brother and a sister, twins. Mm-hmm. And you might even do is like once the...
Jimmy and Jenny. No, Jimmy and Jammy.
Jammy? Okay. Jimmy's the girl, Jammy's the guy. Jimmy and Jammy. Okay, so Jimmy and Jammy. Actually, it's fine. That's fine. Jim and Jam. Okay, so anyways... It's once the king realized that his wife was having twins, again, he didn't want he literally swore the in fact, they killed the doctor. So like nobody even knows who was born technically first. Because he was gonna let fate decide. He's got two options for an heir.
Yeah.
So it's perfect. And of course, then what you have is like the son's growing up like fucking furious. He's like, are you kidding? This, like, I'm the rightful son. Like, of course, they didn't know it was going to be, you know, a boy and a girl. Mm-hmm. Like, they didn't have, you know, whatever, sonograms or whatever back then. So anyways, it's like you have this freaking, like, annoyed little kid who's like, I can't believe my sister might get the kingdom.
I just had an image in my head of a wizard with a crystal ball ultrasound.
That's great. That's great.
Ooh, you can see his face.
Like he's putting, like he's got his wand up.
Oh
to
my
the,
god!
He's got the staff up to her belly, and then he's holding the the ball. As you can see,
this is such a good New Yorker cartoon.
That's great. So yeah, you would even do that. Maybe the girl was born first, technically, or whatever. Mm. But yeah, you would do like the son obviously feels neglected, like ashamed, like literally he's like he should be the rightful heir, and like that's what society's told him, and she's the one who's pushed herself. She's like, if she's gonna run this thing, she's gonna have to prove to everybody that she's the smartest and the mm-hmm. best thing. And you'd have like, that's what you essentially get. It's like one is the person who feels entitled, and you know, and what's really happened is that these two, you know, grew up without anybody. Like once they lost their father, like who do they have? They had no friends. Mm-hmm. Like their entire life was the two of them competing in order to appease their father. Now without their father, it just turns into freaking warfare. Mm-hmm. I don't know what their lessons are, but it's just
okay. He's too proud, and she's too prejudiced.
There you go.
And it's called Pride and Prejudice.
It's chess.
It's called chess. All right. Okay, we got 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. All right.
Brother and sister?
All right. I like that. Sure.
Yeah,
yes.
Let's just start doubling down.
We have 20 minutes. Yes, okay. It's brother and sister.
The basic idea of a king who had twins who was like, I'm not going to let fate decide. I got two options. I got two good options in terms of who deserves the kingdom. And he put them through rigorous testing.
Nice.
Throughout their entire childhood to decide who was better. And then on his deathbed, it was one final game of chess, the king's favorite game, the ultimate game, the one that proves who is the smartest, mm-hmm. the wisest, the one who's willing to sacrifice, the one who understands how to play the game. And he died before he chose the heir. And the two of them fought, and they literally ripped the map apart. And they both had different, again, they both had different alliances. Like maybe the daughter was like really militaristic, and the general like praised her, but the son was the smart political one, and he had like the bishops.
The gift of the people.
He had the gift of the people of popularity. So whatever. So like they both essentially, people chose their side, mm-hmm. and the kingdom split into two.
Yeah.
And now you're coming into this like tenuous truce, and now both of them have decided. It's like, what's the why now? Now they're going to war. It's like they're done with this split kingdom. One of them's going to conquer the other.
It would be, again, I keep coming back to the image of the pawn moving into the four center squares, right? That there would be some resource in the mm-hmm. middle of the board, right? Or the middle of the kingdom that one of them would want to take over, mm-hmm. right? Or like the like they need it for their kingdom. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? And like that it would be that would be the thing that starts this, you know, this building up in this fight. Essentially, like round two, essentially. But then from there, I'm like, and then they just play chess for a while. Like, again, I don't like it. And plus, the other thing I struggle with, honestly, is like they already fight all the time. So then how is this different? Like, you know, no, like, how is this a change for either of them?
So what I was trying to think, well, I mean, they fight, but it's like, right, it's like more like strapping, like fun, competitive, like you know, it's like, yeah, you know,
sibling rivalry.
Sparring. It's sparring to prove they're the best, because ultimately, you know, they don't know who's going to be the best. It's like, that's different than that. Now they've literally gone to life and death. And like, you would even do that. They're kind of, you know, it's like the opposite of Top Gun. It's like, if you started with Wingman and,
But I think at some point, though, in order for you have to escalate, it has to get like personal in terms of what the other person is doing.
What I was
thinking
is like,
right?
like there might be something practical that happens, like somebody enters the. But like, I was trying to think of, like, if you were to cut and these two people again, this is how the kingdom split. This is how these siblings lost each other, and they are now two halves of a whole, and they don't speak. And yes, there's skirmishes on the borders, and et cetera, et cetera. They're both miserable in their own way. Like, what's the now then would be something like, for example, if it was, I don't even know, but if it was like, one of them was infertile and the other one was having an heir. And it's like very clear, like the why now is like that kingdom's gonna have like, right, like that kingdom essentially going to have claim to the entire kingdom because they're the one who presents an heir. So it's like, now we got, I don't know, assassinate or something. I don't know. It's like, I'm trying to think of something like personal that starts off the.
Yeah, but that all just still feels like abstract political theater to me. Like, what I don't have is an emotional character thing from any of that. Like, I don't, like, again, like in The Godfather, like, he's this guy, his family is criminals, and he doesn't want to get pulled into the family business, but out of loyalty to his family, he steps in this crisis and it turns into this descent into a moral hell. Like, I get the arc of that. Like, what I don't get is like these two shitty kids go to war. Like, I don't understand. That's what I don't understand. It's like one of them trying to be above this. Like, is, I don't, that's what I'm listening
to. Is it something
where like they argue over it, they tear it up, they're like, fine, we'll stay out of each other's way. This is your half, this is my half, and that'll be it. And at one point, one goes and tries to kill the other one. I mean, like, right? Like, that's I feel like that's a good personal. If your bro came after you to try and take you out.
I mean, what you need is just what do they each need to, like, what is this ultimately about? I mean, look, you can definitely do stories. There are stories about sibling rivalries or any sort of rivalry. So it's like, what is this rivalry about? Like, you know, it's two racers. Like, you can do a rivalry.
Yeah, I'm not saying you can't do a rivalry.
No, so what's the core of it? Yeah.
All right, well, talking about this, all right, so you have your origin story, and they're both in the kingdom, and yes, what do each of them want before this conflict starts, right? And, like, on a personal level, not just an abstract, like, oh, my kingdom needs X, Y, and Z, right? So they are, I don't know. Like, my sister and I got along. I didn't have a sibling rivalry with her. I don't know how to do a story about that in a way that's compelling.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I was trying, like, again, whether or not it's a little, you know, it's a pretty old-fashioned, but in terms of, like, you know, it's like, yeah, did one feel slighted by the father and never feel appreciated, and the other one felt like she worked twice as hard, and like, you know, what is it that they're both looking for? It's essentially like, right, you would get to, like, they both were looking for something that their father never gave them, and they could find it in each other, but the tragedy is gonna be that they don't because of their ambition and upbringing and rivalry. But, like, yes, you know, I'm very, like, but, like, not that abstract, like, what is the.
Here's just my thing. Yeah, just bear with me. I just, like, my only struggle is that I feel like it starts out with the two of them in this huge feud, right? So then there's not a whole lot of emotional room to go from, like, we already are fighting and hate each other to now we're physically fighting. Like, it would be one thing if they were two, they split the kingdom in half and they both had, you know, they were both at peace about it, but they had, like, a lingering resentment that boils over. But, like, I guess I just don't understand.
Do you see Prince of Egypt?
Yes, forever ago.
Yeah, so that is, I believe, right? I mean, again, the fun of that is, like, but it is, you have, right, isn't, like, they literally were, like, friends, but, like, kind of rivals, like, when they're, like, or maybe they're not, right? Maybe they're friend, maybe the brother and sister love each other. I don't know. But, like, yes, you need something that's why my brain kind of went to, I mean, mostly because I'm reading it, but, like, is the conflict something ideological or something? Like, again, if, like, you could have two best friends in the civil, like, that were like friendly rivals. They were both like commanders in, you know, in an army, and then the North and South split, and now they're on opposite ends of the war. Or, you know, they debate each other all the time. You know, they're both lawyers in freaking, you know, Boston, Massachusetts. And all
right,
the,
but then what is that story about?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
are they going to kill each other? Is that the thing at the end? Like,
well,
is
we were
this,
talking,
I
we're,
just, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we're heading to, I mean, at least what we had talked about was like, this is heading to a pretty apocalyptic, like, this is definitely a tragedy. This is like, what is their flaws that causes the downfall? Like, at a certain point, like, if they could get over their shit, like, things could work out. But instead, it is one's going to be a leader of nothing and the other one's going to, you know, be dead. So in despair that they kill themselves. Like, this is definitely a Greek or a Shakespearean tragedy. So, like,
All right, just to take a run at this. Okay, I'm just the girl. She's the black queen, right? Or mm-hmm. but the king, right? She has her own kingdom now, right? And she can't leave. You know, like, it's the, she has everything she ever wanted. She's, you know, powerful. She mm-hmm. has, you know, she's wealthy, right? You know, like, but there's this, you know, constant kick in her side that she's, you know, like, she and her brother have put each other out of, she's trying to block her brother out of her life as much as possible, mm-hmm. right? She has a great relationship with the king, right? She has a family, she has a court, you know, she mm-hmm. has influence, but, like, she still feels this slight, like, you know, like, this, you know, this thing that, you know, like, she was gonna win that original game, but mm-hmm. her shitty brother, you know, fucking ran the clock out, so she never got what was truly hers, and that gnaws at her.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the king as kind of like this moral conscience being like, just let it go, like, you know, like, you have everything you could possibly want, and mm-hmm. it's still painful. Because again, like, her brother got the farmlands in the when they ripped the map in mm-hmm. half, right? And so she has to pay like half of her gold, right? That her people mine from the mountains. Like, it goes. She has to pay out the ass to get bread mm-hmm. for her kingdom. Like, she's rich in money but poor in food.
Mm-hmm.
And then from the brother's perspective, he's like, my kingdom is poor. Like, I represent these farmers. Like, my sister sits in her ivory tower, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, and complains about us just needing money to build roads and, like, you know, for me to care for my kingdom. You know, like, I hate that I need her money so much. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? So, like, you have this kind of, like, lingering resentment, right? And then, yes, you would do... but again, to me, it would, just to get to the isolation of it, would be they don't talk to each other, right? And again, like the whole brinksmanship, like in the Cuban Missile Crisis, with the tension of not knowing what the Russians were thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, it would start with like a, it is like a misunderstanding almost. Like, there's this tension, right? That then, like, because it's like you, when you're in a situation with someone where like you distrust them, right? Mm-hmm. Like, inevitably, if you're not talking to them, and inevitably you just project all of your worst fears onto them, mm-hmm. right? Like, that guy's coming to kill me. He's doing this. He's doing that. Like, you are worried about everything that they're going to do. And it's really just a reflection of your own insecurities and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
So like, it would be some dumb dispute over a square on the board, right? Like he moves his army up a square, right, to protect it because he's worried that she's going to come for him. And then she sees it. So, like, we from the outside, we're watching. We see the audience has the dramatic irony of knowing that this feud is what's really fueling this,
yeah.
Not the actual circumstances. And their lack of trust builds to this big confrontation.
Mm-hmm.
And then they – do you know what I mean? Like,
I'm trying to work back. Yes, I'm trying to think of, like, if we have a cool... Because, like, again, I just imagine, like, again, the great... And what people don't do enough nowadays is just, like, the soap opera drama of, like... Again, Romeo and Juliet's great because she kills herself. Like, they misunderstand, and that leads to the ultimate tragedy. Like, Titus is, like, he feeds their own family. Like, again, like, I imagine, like, this ending is something as simple as, like, especially if it's going to be about, like, the pointlessness of war or this, like, conflict. Like, again, what I like about the idea is that this competition and this battle for resources is willing to split up a family. It's willing to split up the North and South of America. Mm-hmm. You know, it's willing to split up something that should be strong. And, like, you would do, like, again, if I were to think about it, it'd be like, if the sister did things, she was, like, she wasn't going to have an... like, I imagine that the end is... The king lied to the son back in the day and said, you know why she won the first time? Because she cheated, and you need to be better than somebody who cheats. But she didn't cheat. But that was just the king fucking with him to separate them. And then, like, the end would be, like, he finally gets one up on her, and he kills her husband or kills her only child. Mm-hmm. And then finds out from like the advisor, like she never cheated, and he's watching his sister holding her baby, and he realizes what he's done, and he kills himself. And it's like they've lost everything because of this stupid. Like that's why I'm like, you want to get this moment where it's like this family just torn apart by this stupid. You know what it is? It's literally this family is torn apart by playing Risk. Like it's just like this father was so competitive between his two kids that they
he
lost
put this seed of distrust in them.
In them, yes, and they and ultimately it's like they were lied to, and the game was the problem. In the first place, but it's too late to learn that lesson. And one's alive but lost everything, and then the other one's dead.
Well, you could also do the other thing is I think you could do like maybe like the queen or the bishop, right? Mm-hmm. Like there's another piece on the board who's secretly like, he's like, this feud sucks. Like this could all be one kingdom and that I ruled.
Yeah.
If I got them both to kill each other.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So then you realize like winner. Almost that kind of like that kind of thing in it as well.
Yeah, I like that.
It's the pawn.
Honestly, yeah, like this again, because it's like this first move happens and no, okay, all right, so it is this brother against sister revenge drama, right?
Mm-hmm.
They have the two kingdoms, they're at peace, but they kind of don't like each other, right? Like the like, you know, but they would never go to war because how could you fight, you know, to fight your own family? I think that's what I'm looking for, is that it's like the bond of family is supposed to be bigger than, you know, war. Like they don't want to fight each other, like,
yeah.
And I think you do need something like that to be.
Yes.
They resent the shit out of each other, but like,
yes.
Like I would never make a first move against my brother.
Yes,
she's like, I would never make the first move against my sister.
Yes,
right. There is this misunderstanding.
Well,
right,
it's one pawn seeing like, you know what, this is bullshit. I could do this. Like, I'm gonna take this farmland here, and then just like a stack of dominoes starts the effect. So he's like, in a weird way, right? The pawn becomes the hidden villain of the whole thing that like sparks this.
I feel like
conflict.
You save that for a twist at the end or something like that.
Yeah.
But it's like you would do like the
sister moves into farmland.
Well, like they're again, the brother gets rumors of a report that her sister's army is moving,
mm-hmm,
right. You know, advancing, right?
Yeah.
And maybe like from her perspective, like she's just advancing a unit for a completely different reason,
yeah.
Right? But like a scout on his side sees like, oh, her guys are moving forward, and he's like, what's she moving forward about? Like, oh shit, like, you know, like I heard that, you know, they had a cave-in at their mine. Like, she's not going to have the gold to pay me for my food this
mm-hmm.
year. She's coming. She might be coming after things. Look, I don't know if she's coming after my land, but I don't trust her enough. I'm going to move my guys up to protect my land, just in case, to show her that she can't take it. And then her side reports, what the fuck? Like, he's moving his guys up. He knows we're weak. He knows we're losing our money. He's coming to invade us. And then she's like, would he really do that? Is he that crazy? He knows I've got more research. Like, I've got to move up, too. And then that just gets the ball rolling. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So then it's the two of them trying to outguess each other. And then this to me is like your second act. If you're doing five acts, like this is your second act.
Yeah.
Right. Like, is this powder keg building up, and like she's moving her guys and he's moving his guys. And then I think like your end of if your first act is everything up to that first move. Right. Like their
mm-hmm.
backstory, like they're kind of, you know, separate. Their idyllic lives and their kingdoms, you get a sense of who they are, what they want.
Yeah.
And then this thing happens. Right. So then the second act builds you up to the trade, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like the pawns kill each other, and then the knights come in and kill each other, and then the bishops kill each other, and it's just like, holy shit, like we're at war now, right?
Yeah.
And now it's like, it's fucking time to go.
Yeah.
So then I feel like you would be following the two of them in their strategy over the course of the third act,
mm-hmm.
right? And then I think for each of them, you would have a goal that they're trying to achieve.
Yeah.
The
what I think about, I have just a basic thought, which is you have. Just to give, like, what are the two, where they're, like, dynamic?
Mm-hmm.
And you would do, let's just say it's brother and sister. There's the first chess game or whatever. And I would do the king, what the king told the son is, your sister cheated.
Mm-hmm.
People are always going to cheat. You can't trust anybody. And that's what he taught his son. And
mm-hmm.
his son is unhappy all the time. He's smart. He's brilliant. He's used his brain mm-hmm. to essentially make sure he's always steps ahead. But he's anxious. He's paranoid. He's miserable.
Mm-hmm.
And, again, the daughter, he's like, nobody's going to respect you. Nobody's going to think you earned this kingdom. You have to be stronger than anybody. That's all that matters.
I like that.
You can't let anybody in. So she is tough. So it's like, because I imagine like what you would have then is like the son on his daughter, on his sister's birthday tries to do something nice, and she doesn't want to show any weakness, and she walks away, and he's like, man, my sister hates me.
Yeah.
And he's just sad.
Mm-hmm.
And then him, it's like he doesn't trust. He thinks everything she's doing is to trick him or something.
And so she thinks, oh, he doesn't respect me.
So these two people are going to learn, like, she's going to have to be like, I need to open up to let my brother in, and he's going to have to be like, I had to trust my sister.
Yeah.
And they're both going to learn that lesson too late.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just bad parenting, the movie, essentially.
Yeah. The sins of the father.
Yeah, the sins of the father.
Okay. I like that. I think that's really cool.
And it just gives me a dynamic. It's like, okay, I get, like, she probably has, she has, like, you know, the steel and the resources, and she's got the stronger army.
Yes.
But he is, you know, he's got his, but the kingdom kind of doesn't like her. Like, all the court, like, she, you cut to her court, and they're all having, like, fucking a feast, but everybody is outside fucking in famine. Whereas, like, his kingdom's probably, like, he's got the culture and the religion, and people are kind of happy, but he's miserable. He doesn't trust anybody. He has, like, surprise executions of people who are, like, intellectuals. Like, again, it's like you get these two kind of different dynamics.
I like the idea of one is an agrarian society and the other is a military society.
Yeah.
Or, like, one is Athens, one is Sparta. Like, yeah, I feel her society is
she's Sparta,
and he's Athens.
Yes.
And, you know, like, they're mighty, but they rely on him.
Yes.
And they are peaceful, but they have the sword of Damocles constantly dangling over them. Like, these people could come in and try to kill us at any time.
Yes.
Right? So, like, the he has to, like, his he feels like his only bargaining chip is his resources.
Yeah.
Okay, I like all that.
Yeah.
So then Act 3 feels like it is the war is on, right?
Yeah.
And again, to me, that's like each of them has their strategy they're trying to achieve. They're like, if I do this, that'll give me decisive control.
Yeah.
The first thing that leaps to mind is I'm thinking of moves from the game. Castling is a big one. Like, that's sort of a mid-game move, or like a sort of like as you're developing your position move where you are trying to get your king, your centerpiece,
safe,
to a, the most defensive position on the board. And like from there,
they both tunnel up, right? They both of them.
Win. Oh, you could. But again, you don't necessarily always castle your king.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially because if you're castling your king, it means you're not going to be able to use one of your rooks. And the rooks are very powerful pieces too. Like you could try to develop your rooks earlier
in
the game.
Still unclear what the hell the rooks are. Just giant stone.
Giant moving castles.
Giant moving towers,
like siege towers, I guess.
Well, I guess that makes sense.
So
that makes a lot more sense.
At any rate, so you could do that. One of them could be trying to set up a trap.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, because that's the other, like, it's like the I am going to, again, like,
bait.
If she's like, again, like, again, you know, it could be like he's trying to get her queen.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like the and it's like the most powerful piece on her board, like her mightiest warrior. You know, is the queen. You know, like and he's trying to bait her into the ultimate trap. It's like if I can take out her queen, I can. That'll her whole army will crumble and it'll fuck with her head too. Do you know what I mean? And it's like for her, she's like, I want to. Oh, that might make more sense for her,
because
she's the one who is like, I'm trying to prove myself, right? Like, if she's the one who no one takes me seriously, like, I've got to kick the biggest, the ass of the biggest guy on the board. And for him, he's like, maybe he's the one who's like, I need to get to safety. Like, once I'm in, although it's more of a black piece thing to be like, once I get to my super fortress and build up my defenses, I'm impenetrable. Sorry, I know I'm just diving into the weeds here.
Can I throw a Hail Mary for an ending?
Yeah.
Okay, this requires, we're skipping essentially Acts 2, 3, and 4, but just to give me sense, I'm just trying to get a basic, like, tragedy here. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's say the son, the smart one, the one who, you know, again, the untrustworthy, brilliant, agrarian guy.
Yeah.
He's infertile and he's dying, right? He has no heir. She doesn't know this, right? That's the thing with between her. This piece is tenuous because she doesn't realize that the other side is super weak right now.
Mm-hmm.
That would be start of maybe one of the reasons. And his ultimate plan is like, what I'm trying to get to is like his trick, what he's going to do is he's going to steal her baby. He needs an heir and she just had a baby. And that's ultimately like one of his big goals. And the Romeo and Juliet kind of misunderstanding would be like, he lies because he's going to die. He needs to do this coronation. And the final plan is she finds out they're going to have the baptism of his new child who doesn't exist yet. And she's going to assassinate that child. And, of course, what he's doing is he has spies and he steals her kid. Mm-hmm. So she ends up killing
her own child.
She ends up killing her own child. He didn't realize that was going to happen. And when she realizes it, he is dying and sick. And she, after this whole warfare, she's literally realized she killed her own child and she's weeping as she lost her heir. And he realizes what he's done. And they have this moment and then he kills himself. So now she's sitting there with her dead brother, her dead child that she murdered in her aggression. And she's sitting there in a burning kingdom.
Okay.
It's just, I mean, it's like, you know, with one man, I'm just trying to throw, like, what's
the... No, I like that,
Because he's too smart for his own good, like, and he's cruel. Like, he's literally stealing his own... She's so young, it's like, nobody's going to know if he does it quietly. And rather than give it up to her sister, rather than being like, I don't have an heir, let's call a truce. Like, you're going to run this kingdom. He does this. And she's so brutal that she's willing to kill her own brother's...
child.
To end this war, and they both lose everything because of it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay,
pretty
like
metal.
All right, metal. All right. To rang it up, and I know we're out of time. So then there's this border dispute going on. So for him, it's like I've got my I'm dying. If I die without naming an heir, right, without siring an heir, my kingdom will plunge into chaos, right? Yeah. And then she's going to roll through and take over, right? Yeah. So I need to name an heir, but I have to have a baby to do that.
Yeah.
Why he needs her baby, I'm not entirely sure.
He's well, there's cruel.
A, they all have a birthmark, right?
Yeah, they have something.
So he needs a baby with a birthmark.
Good fix.
So he needs to heist himself a royal baby, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know. Okay, all right, bear with me.
Mm-hmm.
All right, this is nuts. All right, this is, okay, fuck. She's like, again, like, let's say it's the king and the queen, right?
Yeah.
And like, maybe this make it her thing. Like, she doesn't have she needs a siren. I don't know what you do.
Yeah,
I was gonna be like, again, like, he's gonna start this thing hoping she's gonna send out her queen, right?
Yeah.
And it's gender-wise, this is all. But like, the queen is pregnant, right? So he's gonna capture the queen and then steal her baby and make it look like the queen died, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
He's gonna kill the queen and steal the baby, right? And so then he's like, I've got an heir. My king, my bloodline is secured, right? And she's like, he fucking killed my wife. I'm killing his baby.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? Like, it's like that kind of thing.
Yeah. That's something that makes her go over for revenge.
Yeah.
And little does she realize that it's her own child.
Yes.
And
a courtly wizard allowed two ladies to have a baby together through wizard magic.
We essentially have to figure out Act 3 and 4 completely.
That is Act 3, essentially.
Yeah.
He's setting up this whole crate. He is baiting her queen into a trap.
Yes.
Because he wants to capture her and steal the baby.
Yes.
Right? And then for her, she is on this all-out assault.
Yeah.
Again, like, the reason she sends her queen out is she's like, I've got to kick his ass.
Okay, yes, super simple. Sorry, this is how you do. This is how the war starts.
Yeah,
he realizes he's sick. Yes, he has the medicine that the wizard says is across the border. He's too scared and paranoid to tell her, hey, I need this magical flower to fix myself. So he sends people over to retrieve it. She's like, my brother just crossed the border without telling me, and the war begins. Because if he says, like, hey, I'm sick, I might die.
Oh, so he sent, yes,
he's
I like
paranoid
that.
And he doesn't do it. So he tries to sneak because the wizard's like, the only way to save you from this is the magical marigold flower on top of this man. He's like, that's in my sister's kingdom. If she knows why, like, that's, yes. So he's too paranoid. He's too afraid to show his
weakness. By the way, I think just to make all this baby drama better, easier, you make them both men, I think.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
yeah,
I know,
it'd be
like,
easier.
But then I think you
one's
also
infertile,
do. To me, then you would do the ultimate chess player is the queen on his on the White King's side, is that she got the two brothers to murder each other and the queen, the other queen to die.
Yes.
And now she's in charge of the kingdom.
Queen's, yes.
Yeah. And then she unites the kingdom at the end. And she's like, I played all you motherfuckers.
Yes.
Like, peace. Yeah. And it's how this family undid itself with backstabbing and treachery.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool. Yeah.
So, yeah. Chess. So, okay. That's really good.
Yeah. I think that got there.
Chess, the movie, ladies and gentlemen.
All right.
So,
we'll see how well it gets there right after this short break when we elevator pitch chess to, I don't know, who would we pitch this to?
We'll figure it
out. To Bobby Fischer.
I'll pitch it to you two, the chess players.
Podcasts.
They're audio programs that
tell smart stories
in innovative ways
using editing techniques like this.
But let's face it, all that smart stuff can be exhausting.
That's where Stop Podcasting Yourself comes in.
It's so stupid.
It's just two stupid dinguses
being dumb idiot jerks for 90 minutes.
Stop Podcasting Yourself.
The stupid show that smart people love.
Find it on iTunes
or MaximumFun.org.
Welcome back. It is time now for the elevator pitch, where we try and sum up the madness of the last hour in a single, bite-sized, minute-long pitch, which today will be undertaken by Matt Arnold. And Matt, today you're going to be pitching to...
The White and Black King of Chess.
All right. Of chess.
Close your eyes as you imagine yourself walking down a courtly hall. Is that a harpsichord you hear? You approach two attendants before a massive stone door, and they pull it open. It creaks, and inside you see two kings, one with a black crown, one with a white crown, sitting before you.
Approach, peasant.
Your excellencies.
Kneel.
Kneel before your king's donkey.
King Shrek and I have protested from our couriers that you have a fanciful tale for us.
Good sirs, I am but an humble bard.
You two are men of means, and I've been informed that you have so much money you do not know what to do with, and you need some entertainment.
Yes, tis true. We are in need of some folly.
Well, if you don't mind, I have a tale that may be worth telling, but a few coins I must have.
Very well, pay the man.
Coin boy!
Pay the man? All right, thank you very much. That was fantastic.
Execute this treasonous individual.
We've given you a small development fund.
Now me.
To turn your pitch into a treatment laddie.
Now I'm but a simpleton, so we play rocks and cans, kick the can. But you, fine, wise sirs, you must know of the mighty game of chess.
Aye.
Is it like Cards Against Humanity?
Well, bear with me. I want to make Chess the movie a blockbuster spectacle on the scale of Transformers.
Or Shrek.
Or Shrek. But with the wisdom and intelligence of Shrek. You all know what it feels to play a game of chess. So imagine this.
Yes, indeed.
Having an heir must be something that you two are very concerned
about. I
grow
weary, please.
A great heir.
Quickly.
If you had a chance, a king like yourselves had twins. Twins. Who is going to be the king? Who is going to be the one that takes Freddy,
well,
the Black King's kingdom?
Whoever was born first, clearly.
No. Why would you do that? So not to question you, king. No. You would choose the best. So here it is. Chess. A king. A game of kings. A game of intelligence. You have these two sons play chess until it is your ripe old age to give them the kingdom. Which son's going to be the best? You make them battle for their entire childhood. You tell one the other one's cheating. Maybe intelligence is the way to rule a kingdom. You tell the other one you must be strong at all times. Maybe ambition, maybe strength is the way to rule a kingdom. Who will know? But before you can choose your son, you die. Sorry, I know you two would never die, but you die. And now these two sons, never been given the opportunity to rule a kingdom, fight amongst themselves. And over the course of a generation, they battle wits and strengths against each other in a mighty, dramatic, melodramatic game of chess. With real stakes. Anyways, that's 30 seconds.
But pray
I lost
tell,
my train of thought there.
But pray tell, how does this tale end, Bob?
Oh, this tale ends in tragedy. Mm. Unlike your kingdoms, which of course are going to last for generations.
Yes.
One of them is infertile, cannot have an heir. So his goal is to steal his own brother's heir. And in revenge and tragedy, the brother kills his own son and the other one kills himself and the queen won.
Fascinating.
That is, thank you very much for your time.
What say you, White King?
Off with his head.
Oh. I say we execute this commoner immediately. This will be the jest for today, indeed, yes.
I think I'll take this tale myself to Queen Annapurna.
Perhaps Queen A24 will have a lucrative distribution deal for us.
All right, thank you very much.
Thank you, everybody, for listening to our period piece, our period podcast called Story Break, where we get to enact silly, goofy accents and yell at each other for an hour. If you had a good time, why don't you head on over to iTunes?
Probably had a better time than we did. That was a rough one.
That was tough.
Hard work.
We got work today.
We
too.
Do
I
hard
feel pretty
work
bad.
Today. We do hard work here at Story Break. And if you want to leave us an iTunes review to let us know exactly what you think of said hard work, you can head on over to iTunes and leave a review. That's actually very helpful. It gives us a little bit of a distraction, a thing to read in between us pounding our head against the wall trying to break stories in our regular day jobs.
Well, we got some new reviews too.
Oh, you do. Well, hit me up with some of them good reviews, man.
Well, thank you. We got a few more. 5-star reviews, which makes us feel very good, especially after a tough episode like this. Thank you for Tonelok 888 and Obsessive Viewer Anthology Pods.
Tonelok 888.
Tonelok.
What did I say?
Tonelok.
Tonelok. Oh, which is GG Story Break. GG parentheses Matt speaks up though. So I'm sorry for stepping away from.
We're
the microphone.
We're fixing that. That was a mixing error.
Thanks.
Oh, that was on Freddie.
Thanks as well to Obsessive Viewer / Anthology Pods and She'd BB. For those reviews. Also, I wanted to say a special shout out to Mark Rantall for an awesome Joe Camel poster.
Oh my God. Holy shit.
Very
this was
slick.
So good.
Joe, Ashes of an Icon. You guys can check it out on Twitter. He is at Mark Rantall, Rantal on Twitter. So
what was his tagline on
give
it?
Give him some love. Ashes of an Icon.
Very good.
Very, very
that
good.
That poster was awesome.
Our Twitter is at RJ Story Break, so follow that. We retweet dope poster art. Like, I'm just stunned at the quality of these things that come in. I'm like, they're often better than what I have even in my own head. So once again, thank you everybody who's ever chopped up a poster for our crazy movie ideas. And
I think next week we need to do a video game. I'm just putting it out there so we don't, because we were going to do that today and we didn't. So I'm just saying it right now. Next week we're doing a video game.
There are many chess video games.
Yeah, we've already, yeah.
Next week, we're going to do whatever the fuck we want.
Yeah, baby. That's how we roll here at Story Break.
We're
every
rebels.
Week, we listen to nobody but ourselves, the True Selfish Podcast, coming at you live every week. See you next Thursday, everybody.
Hey, we'd like to talk to you about our new podcast on Maximum Fun, Friendly Fire.
It's the podcast about action movies and Sylvester Stallone specifically. It's the show I've always wanted to make.
It is not that. It is not that at all.
It's a little bit more of a war movie podcast.
It's not a little bit more of a war movie podcast. It is explicitly a war movie podcast. We look at them from all sides and put them in a variety of cultural and historical contexts, such that anyone is going to enjoy this show.
So go grab Friendly Fire every Friday on MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Good God, y'all.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.